Julie Goodnight is a nationally recognized clinician and frequent speaker at horse fairs and seminars around the country, known for bridging the gap between natural horsemanship and classical horsemanship. Julie has an upbeat and straightforward style of teaching with the ability to simplify elusive concepts in horsemanship.
Hello, I am Julie Goodnight, and I hope you will find this recording useful in improving your relationship with your horse. What we're going to work on is communication with the horse through the natural aids. First, let's talk about what the natural aids are. The natural aids are the things that you are born with that allow you to communicate with the horse. This is in contrast to artificial aids, which are man-made objects that you use to communicate with the horse, such as the reins, the bits, spurs, or a whip. All of these are examples of artificial aids. It is my belief that riders that rely too heavily on artificial aids are making up for poor riding skills. So what we're going to work on today is understanding how to use the natural aids and how you can become more effective with the natural aids to communicate with and control your horse. So what are the natural aids? Well, traditionally, we teach that there are four natural aids, and they are, in their order of importance, your seat, your legs, your hands, and your voice. The primary aids, that is the aids that are most important, are seat, legs, and hands. We're going to talk in a minute about how you use those aids. I like to teach in a more unconventional fashion that there are actually seven natural aids. And in addition to your seat, legs, and hands and voice, you're going to learn to use your eyes, your breathing, and the seventh, and maybe the most important natural aid, your brain, so that you can learn to think through what you're doing on a horse. It's important to use all of the aids all of the time and use them together so that one aid supports the other in a consistent rather than conflicting way. Most riders are taught from day one to rely heavily on their hands. And you may have even experienced this yourself the first time you got on a horse. Somebody probably told you to stop by pulling back on the reins and to turn by pulling the reins in one direction or the other. That is taking one aid out of context. In fact, your reins or your hands are your least important natural aid. What's important is that you use your seat first in everything that you ask of your horse. What I'm going to teach you today on this recording is how your hands will move in response to your seat and body. One of the symptoms of riders relying too heavily on their hands is seen when the rider gives conflicting signals to the horse. The most common thing we see in this instance is the rider that's asking the horse to stop by pulling from the reins first and is typically pulling her weight forward at the same time. So she's pulling back on the reins and leaning forward. This gives a conflicting message to the horse because when the horse feels the rider's weight go forward, he wants to move forward. But the rider is pulling back on the reins and telling him to stop. So the rider is telling the horse to stop and go at the same time. This leads to a very frustrated and anxious horse. He doesn't know what to do, and there is no right answer. What we're going to work on today is to learn to use your hands in concert with your other aids so that all of the aids are giving the same signal to the horse. As I mentioned earlier, the seat is your most important primary aid. We're going to learn now how to connect the use of your legs and your hands to your seat. All of the aids should be connected and coordinated in giving a consistent signal to the horse. So first, let's look at the seat and how it's going to work. Find a comfortable place to sit in a chair near a table, but give yourself plenty of room. You can sit near a table or a desk or just a countertop. If you're listening to this tape in a car, you will be able to practice some of these exercises, but if you're driving, make sure you keep your hands on the steering wheel and your eyes on the road. Now, sitting in a chair, I want you to move forward in the chair a little bit so that you have both feet flat on the ground and that your feet are underneath you and you're sitting straight up over your seat bones. I want to show you now the power of your seat bones and what an important communication device it is for your horse. Take both of your hands and place them under your seat so that you can feel one seat bone in each hand. Now, remember that when you're sitting on a horse, you're sitting on the most sensitive part of his back. You probably have noticed that when you curry your horse and you curry up behind his withers and back where the saddle sits, he can get real sensitive there. So feel your two seat bones in your hands and remember that these seat bones, even through the saddle, can be felt very well by the horse. Now, what I would like you to do is simply inhale deeply, stretching and lengthening your spine straight up, and feel your seat bones lighten and tip up. And now exhale completely and compress and shorten your spine, dropping your shoulders down towards your hips as far as you can compress, and feel your seat bones get heavy as they rotate forward and down. Continue inhaling and stretching up. Feel your seat bones get light and come up to the tip. And then exhale deeply, compressing your spine and rotating your seat bones down and forward. See how much movement you can feel in your seat bones as you inhale. And as you exhale and compress down, think of plugging those seat bones into your horse's back, getting heavy, pressing his back down. Okay, go ahead and take your hands out and shake them out for a little bit and relax for a moment and just listen. That was an exercise to show you how powerful and important your seat bones are. What you were cueing the horse to do by inhaling and coming up to the top of your seat bones and then exhaling and pushing your seat bones down and forward was telling the horse to move forward as you inhale and to stop or slow down as you exhale. Just by simply inhaling and exhaling, your body was sending a physical and psychological cue to the horse. Here's the reason why that works. First of all, you've seen how the simple act of inhaling and exhaling causes a physical response in your body that sends a direct signal to the horse. But there's a second reason why breathing is important, and that's a psychological reason. Think about this for a minute. When you've had a long, hard day at work and you get home, slip off your shoes, and sit down on the couch to watch the news, you sit down and relax, and what's the first thing that happens to your breathing? You exhale and sometimes even sigh out the breath. Exhaling sends a physiological and psychological signal to your body to relax. Conversely, what's the first thing that happens if suddenly there's a loud bang and you weren't expecting it and it startles you? What's the first thing that happens to your breathing? A sharp inhale. A sharp, sudden inhale sends a physiological signal to your body. It pumps oxygen to your blood, causes an increase in heart rate, and it's the fight or flight response. So a sudden inhale prepares your body for action, while exhaling and sighing prepares your body to stop or slow down and relax. This is true of the horse as well. If you pay attention to your horse, you'll notice that when he tenses and he picks his head up, he tends to hold his breath. When he relaxes and accepts something, he drops his head and sighs. So inhaling and exhaling also send a psychological communication to your horse in addition to the physical signal that is sent through your body. If you exhale when you want the horse to stop or slow down, it programs him to relax. And conversely, if you inhale when you want the horse to move forward, it helps gather the energy of the horse and prepare him for motion. Now, let's look at how your hands move with your seat to give a consistent signal to your horse. Sitting in your chair, I want you to be in a position with your hands reaching forward, your elbows in front of your rib cage, and your upper arms caressing the rib cage. See the illustration in the booklet. Now, you should be positioned to the table so that your fingers are just on the edge of the underside of the table, not gripping the table, just holding on softly with your fingers on the bottom edge of the table. Now, as you inhale deeply and expand your lungs, you should feel your hands move forward as your rib cage expands. As you exhale and compress your spine, apply a little bit of resistance with your fingers to the table, and as you rotate your hip bones forward, feel a connection with your hands and your seat so that the resistance applied by your fingers on the table causes your seat bones to get heavy. Again, inhale, feel your hands move forward, and then exhale, apply resistance to the table and connect that energy to your seat so that your seat bones get even heavier. Try this numerous times. Inhale and release, exhale and resist, making your seat bones get heavy. Okay, what I've just shown you is the way in which your hands are connected to your seat bones. Go back to this position again. Your fingers are on the bottom edge of the table. Your feet are underneath you. Your spine is straight and your back is flat. Now, just for the sake of argument, what I want to show you is what happens when a rider uses her hands only without the seat. Grab onto the edge of the table again and pull with your hands. What you should feel now is your weight coming forward and your seat bones getting lighter. This is what happens when you pull on the reins first without using the seat aid. Try that again. Pull on the edge of the table as if you were pulling on the reins first and feel your seat bone come off the horse as your weight comes forward. This is the conflicting signal that you give your horse. You're asking him to stop with your hands, but your center of gravity is moving forward and asking him to move forward. When you pull on the reins first, you'll feel your elbows move into your rib cage instead of your arms moving with your body. Your arms are crashing into your body in a conflicting motion. The proper way for the horse to stop is to drop his back and stop on his haunches. When the horse stops on his forehand, he gets out of balance and he feels very heavy and he lurches the rider forward. When we give the proper signal to the horse using our seat and hands together, your weight presses down onto the horse's back, asking him to drop his back, and there's a connection that occurs between your hands and your body so that your arms are moving in unison with your body instead of interfering with your body. Practice this exercise a lot. Practice connecting your seat, hands, and breathing to ask the horse to stop and slow down as you exhale and to move forward and have a release when you want the horse to move forward. Whenever you pull back on the reins to ask the horse to stop or slow down, it's imperative that your seat gets heavy. If you pull back on the reins to stop or slow down and your seat bones are getting lighter, what you're doing is lying to your horse. You're giving him a conflicting signal and telling him to stop and go at the same time. It's no wonder he's becoming a frustrated and aggravated animal. And by the way, there's no horse in the world that wouldn't rather stop from your weight or seat aid than from having you pull on his mouth. If he understands and believes that when you shift your weight back onto his back, that means stop, he will always stop before you pull on his mouth. All right. Now let's talk about how you're going to use your seat to communicate to the horse and ask him to speed up or slow down. I have a simple explanation called the gears of the seat that we can use to illustrate this point. Your seat has three gears, and they are neutral, forward, and reverse. Refer to the illustrations in the booklet that accompanies this recording. Sit in your chair again and scoot up towards the front of your chair so that your feet are flat on the ground and somewhat underneath you. Make sure your back is flat and your spine is stretched straight up so you're sitting with equal weight on both seat bones. Keep breathing so that you stay relaxed and soft through your back. That's neutral gear. Neutral gear is sitting with equal weight on both seat bones with your weight stretching straight up and out of the saddle, lightening the load on the seat bones. Neutral gear is what you should ride in almost all of the time. When you are in the neutral gear, you are telling your horse that what he is doing is just fine and to continue doing what you're doing until I tell you something different. So, for instance, we ask our horse to walk by shifting into forward gear, and as soon as he begins walking, we shift back to this neutral gear and we stay in that neutral gear until we want to do something different, like slow down or speed up. Neutral gear is what you ride in almost all of the time. You're going to use the forward and reverse gear to ask the horse to either speed up or slow down. Let's talk about the forward gear first. In the forward gear, just as we were doing a few minutes ago, you're going to inhale and feel your center of gravity move slightly forward as your rib cage expands, and because of the connection with your arms and rib cage, your hands automatically release while your center of gravity moves slightly forward. By the way, your center of gravity is located right around your belly button. It's a little bit higher for men and a little bit lower for women. Try that again, and as you inhale deeply, notice that your belly button moves a little bit forward as your rib cage expands. Thus, your center of gravity moves forward. Now, why does this work? Well, it's because you're sitting right over your horse's center of gravity. Did you ever play the game chicken when you were a child? It's when you carry a person piggyback and there were two teams. And in this game, one team tries to push the other team off balance. So imagine that you're carrying somebody piggyback, and as long as their weight is centered right over your balance, you can hold them just fine. But as soon as that person you're carrying piggyback gets behind your center of balance or in front of your center of balance, it changes your balance. When that person on your back leans back a little bit, it makes you want to move back to get underneath him. When that person on your back leans forward, what do you want to do? You want to move forward to get back underneath him. So this is the same thing that's happening to the horse. When you are in proper position and balanced with the horse, you are sitting right over his center of gravity. When you want the horse to move forward and you inhale, your center of gravity moves slightly forward as your hands give a release to the horse's mouth. And as you exhale, come right back to the neutral position, sitting up over both seat bones with your weight stretching straight up. Now, it's hard for us to practice what happens with our legs when we're not on the horse. When you're on the horse, your legs are hanging freely. When we're sitting or standing, our legs are inhibited by the ground. But we know from what we talked about in part one that natural balance requires ear, shoulder, hip, and heel alignment. So when the front part or the top part of that line, your ears and your shoulders, when they slightly move forward, in order to maintain alignment, your lower leg will naturally want to move slightly back. When your lower leg moves back, they close on the horse's sides. Now, when you inhale and shift into forward gear, you give a release on the reins, you move your center of gravity forward, and your legs come slightly back and close softly on the horse's side. All of the primary aids, your seat, legs, and hands, are giving a consistent signal for the horse to move forward. As soon as you feel a response in your horse, you should come immediately back to the neutral position and release the aids. The release tells him that what he did was correct. Okay, let's talk about the reverse gear now. In the reverse gear, we're going to ask the horse to stop or slow down. We know we're going to use the exhale and we're going to compress the spine. It's not leaning back, it's compressing down on the horse and rotating your seat bones forward and down. I like to imagine that my seat bones are like an electrical plug and that my horse's back is the outlet. When I shift into reverse gear, I'm going to plug my two seat bones into the outlet. So sitting in the neutral gear now, equal weight on each seat bone, your spine is stretching straight up and lightening your seat, and your fingers are on the bottom edge of the table, and your upper arms are connected to your rib cage. Inhale deeply, and as you exhale, shift into reverse gear, compress your spine and rotate your seat bones forward and cause resistance from your fingers and elbows so that you make your seat bones get even heavier. Inhale and come back to neutral. Let's try that again. Remember, you're going to use your hands and arms to connect with your seat by giving a slight closing of your elbows and applying resistance with your fingers on the bottom edge of the table. Now, inhale, and as you exhale, compress your spine, rotate your seat bones, plug them into your horse's back, and apply resistance from your hands and arms that causes your seat bones to get even heavier. Okay, let's review the gears of the seat. You should be riding in neutral gear almost all the time. In neutral gear, you are sitting with equal weight on both seat bones, and your weight is stretching straight up. Your back is flat. Your pelvis is open so that there is no weight on your crotch. All of your weight is on your two seat bones. Your spine is elevated and stretched up, and that lightens the load on your horse's back. Let's ask the horse to move forward first. When you shift into forward gear, you should inhale, feel your lungs expand and your hands stretch forward, your rib cage and your center of gravity come slightly forward, and then come back to neutral as you exhale. Now, let's try the reverse gear. Inhale again, and as you exhale, compress your spine, your shoulders come down towards your hip, rotate your seat bones forward, and plug them into the horse's back. Apply resistance with your hands and arms, which causes your seat bones to become even heavier. And as you inhale, come back to the neutral position. Practice these gears a lot. Again, the more you practice on the ground, the more you develop muscle memory, the better you are able to translate these skills to the horse's back. On side B of this recording, we're going to put these skills to work from the horse's back. If you spend time to perfect these movements on the ground, you'll be well ahead of the curve for perfecting them on the horse's back. Okay, so far we've talked about using the natural aids to get your horse to move forward and slow down for upward and downward transitions. Now, let's look at how you're going to use your natural aids to ask the horse to turn. And as always, we're going to start with the seat first because that is the most important aid. Go back to sitting on your hands again. Put both of your hands under your two seat bones so that you can feel one seat bone in each hand. Make sure that your feet are flat, your shoulders are square and forward, and that you're stretching your spine straight up. Your spine is lengthened and your rib cage is expanded. I want you to keep your eyes forward out in front of you. And now I'm going to ask you to slowly turn and look all the way around over one shoulder, but make sure you keep your eyes up and your spine centered as you turn to look over one shoulder, all the way around as far as you can turn, and see if you can feel a shift of weight on your seat bones. Come back to center now and turn in the other direction and keep your eyes up as you look up and over your shoulder and look back behind you. Come back to center. What you should be feeling as you turn and twist your body is a lightening of the inside seat bone. As your body twists and coils, the inside will naturally shorten and the outside will naturally lengthen. So you should feel your inside seat bone lighten while your outside seat bone gets heavy. Are you feeling that? If you're feeling your inside seat bone get heavy, probably what you're doing is leaning into the turn and looking down. Try this twisting exercise again, but be sure that your eyes are up and that your spinal column stays centered. We don't ever want to lean in one direction or another because, getting back to our piggyback analogy, it will throw the horse off balance. But it's natural that as you turn and look that your body swivels and coils, causing the inside to shorten and the outside to lengthen. By the way, the same thing happens in your horse when we ask him to turn. Relax for a minute, take your hands out from underneath your seat, and let's talk about how the horse turns. It's important to understand that we want the horse to make an arcing turn, not a leaning turn. If the horse is not arcing or bending in the turn, then what he is doing is dropping his inside shoulder and leaning into the turn like a motorcycle. This will make the horse speed up and lose balance. We want the horse's inside shoulder to stay elevated and arcing in the turn. So when turning a horse, the balance of the turn is not like a motorcycle or a bicycle. The feel of the balance of the turn of the horse is more like what you feel in a car. Or if you happen to snow ski, it's what you feel on the skis. Because your balance is on two tracks, your weight naturally goes to the outside as you make a turn. While you use your inside seat bone and leg to stay centered on the horse, to keep his shoulder up and give him a point to bend around. Again, when we're riding the horse, we want him to turn, making an arc throughout his whole body, what we call bending in the turn. If you can picture the line that goes from your horse's poll right between his ears all the way down his spine to his tail, that is the line that we want to arc or bend. Now, let's think about what happens in his body when he's arcing in a turn. Imagine that you're the horse and you've got all four legs on the ground. Your arms are now legs and your back is flat like a table. Arc your body to the side as if you were making a turn so that you have an even arc from the tip of your head all the way down through your spine. What's happening now is that your inside shoulder is moving toward your inside hip. This is how your horse turns when he's arcing through his turns. As your horse bends and his shoulder moves towards his hip, the inside of his back muscles contract and bulge, while the outside of his back stretches and lengthens. So, what do you imagine you would feel from on top of the horse as he bends in the turn and as you swivel your body? The inside of the horse's back is bunching up into your inside seat bone. The outside of the horse's back is stretching and lengthening, causing your outside hip to drop down. Move back away from the table now so that you can put your hands in front of you and not be touching the table. Make sure you are sitting towards the front of your chair so that your feet are flat on the ground as far underneath you as possible and still be flat on the floor. Now, I want you to develop that feel of your upper arms being connected to your rib cage. Now, your rib cage, shoulders, and arms are going to move as a unit as you turn and swivel. Instead of looking all the way back over your shoulder like you were a moment ago, what I want you to do is keep your chin in alignment with your chest now and turn with your whole body as a unit and look in one direction and see what happens to your hands. If you have a good connection with your upper arms and your rib cage, your hands should naturally follow your eyes as you turn and look. Remember, try to turn your entire spinal column as a unit and do not turn your head farther than your body can follow. Do not lean in either direction and do not let your hips shift from side to side. Turn and look right. Come back to the center and turn and look to the left. Continue slowly twisting and swiveling your body as you think about these things. Move your eyes and your body as a unit. Let your shoulders follow and your body swivel and feel the coil on the inside of the turn. Are your hands pulling independently on the reins, or are they following your torso and working in unison with your eyes, shoulders, and seat? What do your legs do while you're swiveling in the turn? Again, this will be better seen from the horse's back when your legs are free to follow the motion of your body, but basically what happens is that your legs follow the motion of your seat. When you feel the outside seat bone get heavy, that same leg is going to naturally drop back and close against the horse's side. The inside leg will naturally come forward and in towards the horse's girth. All right, that's a look at the natural aids. How you're going to use the primary aids, the seat, legs, and hands together as a unit to ask the horse to stop and go and turn right and turn left. Now let's combine some of the things we learned in part one having to do with position, balance, and rhythm and put that together with the use of the natural aids before we do it on a horse. So I'd like you to find a comfortable position to stand now with plenty of room around you so that you can be comfortable and have some room to stretch out. First, let's review the balance position because it is only from a position of balance that you can learn to use your aids effectively. Remember the importance of having ear, shoulder, hip, and heel alignment. Your feet should be spread apart a little more than shoulder width. Make sure that your back is flat and your pelvis is open. Remember to pull that cat tail to keep your back flat. As you open your pelvis, feel your weight sink into your heels. That is your stability and your anchor to the ground. Notice that when you open your pelvis, your weight sinks down into your heels even more. Make sure that your eyes are focused far off ahead and that you are taking in as much peripheral vision as possible and your ears are over your shoulders. Make sure your shoulders are long and relaxed so that that line from your ear to your shoulders is long and your shoulders are hanging straight down. Make sure your sternum is lifted so that your shoulders are in proper position and not rounded. And so that the rib cage is lifted off your spine and your shoulders are back over your hips. Put your arms in the proper position now. Your hands are reaching for your horse's mouth, your elbows slightly in front of the rib cage, and your upper arm is connected to your rib cage. Now you are in the proper balance position. Let's review one more time the common problems seen in position. We talked in part one about the problem with weighting your toes. Just for the sake of argument right now, rock up onto your toes and onto the balls of your feet, lift your heel, and notice how your balance changes. How the tension starts creeping up your leg. Come back to the heels down position now. Sink down into your heels by opening your pelvis. Notice how much more comfortable and stable and anchored you are. Remember the importance of keeping your pelvis open and your lower back flat. And right now, just for comparison, go ahead and close your pelvis and arch your back so that your belly button comes forward and your tailbone sticks out behind you. See how that tenses your lower back and brings the weight onto the ball of your foot? Now, open your pelvis as much as you can, pull that cat tail, drop your tailbone down to the ground, but do not collapse your upper body. Keep your chest up and your stomach in. Feel how much more comfortable your back is, how relaxed all of your joints are, and how your weight has come back into your heels? Okay, now moving on up the body, your hands should be out in front of you, stretching forward to the horse's mouth, and you have that connection with your rib cage. One of the other common problems that we see in riding position is a collapsed rib cage and rounded shoulders. Make sure that your rib cage is lifted off your spine so that your sternum is lifted and that your lungs remain inflated. Tense shoulders is another common problem, so lengthen that line between your ears and shoulders so that your shoulders are hanging straight down. And finally, ear to shoulder alignment. Remember that we want to make sure that our ears are back over our shoulders so that the back of your neck is touching your collar and so that your chin is not jutting out in front of you. All right, now we are looking good in the athletic balanced position. This will allow you to be soft and quiet and rhythmic in moving with your horse in a fluid motion. From this balanced position, let's look now at how we're going to use the natural aids, the primary natural aids, your seat, legs, and hands, to ask the horse to move forward and to slow down. Again, standing in the balanced position with your arms connected to your rib cage, first, let's ask the horse to move forward by shifting into forward gear. You're going to inhale, let your rib cage expand, and give a release to the horse's mouth. Let your weight move slightly forward so that your center of gravity comes forward, and then come right back to the neutral position as you exhale. Very good. Now, use the reverse gear in your seat to ask the horse to stop or slow down. You exhale, rotate your seat bones forward and down, plugging them into the horse's back. A slight closing of your elbows causes resistance on your horse's mouth, but that resistance is connected to your seat bones. Come back to neutral again. Let's try that one more time. And I want you to notice that as you exhale and shift into the reverse gear, as you close with your elbows, notice that your hands move slightly up. Your hands do not move down when you ask the horse to stop. Inhale as you come back to neutral. Let's try the downward transition one more time. This seems to be what people have the most trouble with. As you exhale and rotate your seat bones, I want you to notice that your weight sinks even more into your heels as you come down onto your horse's back, anchoring you solidly down on your horse's back, asking him to drop his back in the stop instead of dropping on his forehand. Good. You are now using all of your aids together in a consistent motion to ask the horse to move forward or slow down. It's important to realize almost all of this motion is stemming from your breathing and how important your breathing is in communicating with your horse, both physiologically and psychologically. Okay, now let's look at using the natural aids to turn the horse. Again, stand in your best balanced position. Slowly turn your body as a unit to the right. Feel the weight shift onto your left outside leg, and go ahead and let your right leg twist slightly so that your heel comes in towards your horse's shoulder. Come back to center. Now let's turn to the left. Eyes first, swivel through your body. Feel the weight shift onto your outside leg. The inside leg comes slightly forward. Your inside heel comes in as your horse fills up underneath your inside leg. Make sure your spinal column stays centered and you are not leaning in any direction. Come back to center. The secondary natural aids support the primary aids. They are your voice, your breathing, eyes, and most important of all, your brain. You know how to use your voice. You might cluck when you want the horse to move forward or say whoa when you want him to stop. Your breathing is important to inhale on the upward transitions and exhale on the downward transitions. And your eyes not only give communication and direction to the horse, they set your body up to follow and give a physical communication to the horse just from using your eyes. And of course, the brain aid comes into play when you think through everything that you're doing all of the time. You think through your position and the use of the natural aids, and you think through what your horse is doing and how he is thinking. Side B of this recording will be a mounted workout where we can put all of these skills to work and develop better position, balance, rhythm, and communication with the horse. My name is Julie Goodnight, and I thank you for spending this time with me as we work together to stride for excellence in horsemanship.